What does it mean to be a Western yogi? How can someone who was born and raised in the West, who comes from a Judeo-Christian background, practice yoga and meditation in an authentic and genuine way? My name is Christopher Sartain, and this is the Western Yoga Podcast. Greetings, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Western Yoga Podcast. I'm here in southern Chile at our retreat center. We have a 200-hour intensive yoga teacher training going on right now. We've got about 10 people here staying with us for a couple of weeks. And it's a beautiful summer day here, sunny and warm. And we're enjoying the warm weather and our wonderful company here this week. And it is, by the way, the 18th of February, 2023, as I record this episode. Let's talk about ascension. If you get on the internet, you'll find an awful lot of nonsense regarding this subject and a complete misinterpretation of what ascension actually is. There are many New Age prophets proclaiming that some type of great collective ascension is about to occur. Of course, they've been saying this since, you know, the early 2000s, as we prepared for 2012. There were a lot of New Age teachers and prophets predicting some type of great collective ascension around December 2012. Of course, that didn't happen, but to save face, many of these folks have simply recalculated the Mayan calendar or whatever, and, you know, they continue to predict that this great awakening will occur. I'd say the chances of something like that occurring are pretty close to 0%, just looking around and observing human society and watching the news and keeping up with current events. Doesn't seem likely that that will occur anytime soon. Of course, you all know that I'm a teacher in the Kriya Yoga tradition, and I tend to agree with Sri Yukteswar's assessment of the yugas, the so-called yugas, which are these eras that occur. I recommend reading his book, The Holy Science, if you haven't already done so, to learn more about the yugas. And there are other books that talk about the yugas and Sri Yukteswar's theories regarding these time cycles and eras and all of that. At any rate, we won't enter another Satya Yuga for many thousands of years, which is a golden age, enlightened age, where a great awakening can occur. So it's far off. We live in a fairly dark age, in case you haven't noticed. We're just exiting Kali Yuga, which is the dark age, and we're entering into Dwapara Yuga, which is an energy age. And at any rate, not to be a pessimist, but I don't consider myself a pessimist, just a realist. I take a realistic assessment of the global situation. So at any rate, you will find an awful lot of nonsense on the internet and in books by these popular authors about some type of great awakening or great collective ascension occurring soon. But ascension really has nothing to do with a great awakening or any type of collective awakening or anything like that. It's a complete misinterpretation and interpolation of what this word actually means. Ascension is an individual phenomenon or process that has nothing to do with any type of collective awakening or anything like that. In the yoga tradition, there are essentially three planes or dimensions of existential reality: the physical plane, the astral plane, and the causal plane. The physical plane is fairly easy to define. We experience it every day. And the astral plane is sort of a subtle energetic plane existing in a more subtle, refined dimension. And the causal plane is a mental plane. The idea being that it is possible for us to graduate to more refined, more enlightened planes of existence as we evolve along our spiritual path. For example, one need not continually reincarnate into physical forms. It is possible that when your physical body dies, that you can ascend to an astral plane or graduate to an astral plane where you can exist as an astral being without the incessant need to reincarnate again and again into physical forms. In other words, you can continue your spiritual evolution in an astral plane without the need to reincarnate into form. Form is no longer necessary for you at some point. You've learned all that you need to learn from the physical planes and planets, and you can simply ascend or graduate to these astral planes and exist there and continue your spiritual quest and journey there. Likewise, it is possible, once you have attained a certain stage of spiritual awakening and enlightenment, you can graduate or ascend from an astral plane to a causal plane or mental plane, in which an astral body is no longer necessary for you to continue your journey or quest. And you can simply exist as mind in a causal plane. So the physical body is no longer necessary, the astral body is no longer necessary, and you simply exist as a mind, an individualized mind, in a causal dimension. This is the process of ascension. Okay? It has nothing to do with any type of collective awakening. And I'd say that we probably will not experience any type of collective awakening for several thousand more years. The reason people cling to these silly, sort of goofy notions of collective awakening is because they're psychologically and emotionally comforting. It provides some degree of hope for those who just can't deal or cope with reality as it is. And so they invent these ideas and these theories about collective awakenings occurring. Because it is psychologically and emotionally comforting. I get it. I used to think the same thing. Early on in my spiritual path, I was fascinated by these ideas around 2012, and I read several books predicting these great awakenings, and I really looked forward to that happening. Of course, it didn't happen. As a matter of fact, I'd say it's quite possible that we've devolved collectively since then, unfortunately. When you look at pop culture, for example, or when you watch the news programs and whatnot, it does seem as though we are devolving and not evolving, that we're actually moving backwards rather than forwards, and that there is, in fact, no great awakening occurring. Now, is it true that there are more people interested in spirituality, meditation, and things like that now than there were, 50 years ago? Yes, of course. Of course. And that is good. And that trend is promising. But when you look at how people approach spirituality and meditation, I'm not sure that has evolved. Most folks, without being judgmental, have an incredibly superficial interest in spirituality and meditation. And they treat it much like they treat any other form of entertainment in their lives. And so it becomes a form of spiritual entertainment, a sort of pastime or hobby. And most folks don't dive deep. They attend workshops and retreats about every new trendy spiritual topic or New Age topic, but they don't seem to be any better off or more enlightened following their attendance at these workshops and retreats and seminars and so forth. And so they just kind of scratch the surface, and they float from system to system, tradition to tradition, accumulating knowledge, but not really awakening any further. This is very common nowadays. It is what it is, folks. I'm not trying to be judgmental or pessimistic, but it is good to live in reality and debunk myths so that we can have a firm footing in reality and not some imaginary fantasy land full of empty hopes. Okay? So yes, it is somewhat psychologically and emotionally uncomfortable to admit that, we live in a dark age and things aren't really improving a whole lot, especially as we look at the impact, environmental devastation and all of that. Things are, in fact, getting worse with regards to overpopulation and environmental devastation and destruction and all of that. Some things are getting better. There's less racism and sexism, probably, than at any other time in human history. So that's obviously very good and a very good trend. Hopefully that will continue. So some things are certainly getting better, obviously. Thank God. And there are some promising new technologies so-called free energy or zero-point energy devices that it's most likely that they already exist, but they've been occulted by certain groups within governments. I won't go any further, but let's just say it is quite likely that this technology already exists, but it has not been made public. Hopefully, within the next 10 to 20 years, these technologies will be made public, and at the very least, humanity will have access to abundant, non-polluting energy sources. If that occurs, then the likelihood for collective evolution increases exponentially. So I do have some hope in regards to these new emerging technologies, so-called singularity technologies. Although there are some other singularity technologies like artificial intelligence that aren't so promising for humanity and our collective liberty and freedom. But at any rate, ascension is an individual process. It has to do with the individual's spiritual journey and quest and their individual spiritual evolution as they graduate to higher and higher planes of existential reality. It is quite possible, I'd say it's quite probable, that there are many planets with intelligent beings living there that we can reincarnate into. In other words, this is not the only planet in which souls can incarnate into the forms of so-called intelligent beings. I'm sure there are many planets in the universe where we can incarnate and grow and learn and evolve, planets that are probably far more advanced and evolved than this planet. I sure hope that's the case. And so there's the potential to reincarnate into forms on other planets that are of a sort of higher frequency and a higher consciousness. And so there exists the possibility of evolving on other planets prior to our ascension into astral realms, for example. So it is quite possible that there's some type of continuum of planets that we incarnate onto before we ascend to astral and causal planes or realms. And it is quite possible, I've been theorizing lately, that each planet is sort of like a university and specializes in certain subjects and certain quote-unquote career paths, for lack of a better term. It's like, if I want to study engineering, I'm not going to go to art school or music school, you know. If I want to study art, I'm not going to go to MIT or Georgia Tech, you know. And so, in other words, it's quite possible that souls incarnate into specific planets to learn specific lessons. I hope you're following my train of thought here. It is possible that each planet provides specific lessons and classes based upon our spiritual needs at the time. And that we can learn what we need to learn from this earth realm and then incarnate in, onto other planets that specialize in different lessons and classes and themes and subjects and so on. I've become convinced over the past couple of years that Earth, the specialization here, or the lesson that souls come here to learn, primarily, is resilience, endurance, and perseverance. Resilience, endurance, and perseverance is the specialization here. Souls probably come here to learn about endurance, resilience, and perseverance, just like engineers go to MIT to learn about engineering. Okay? And so that it's the only justification or explanation I can find for the amount of suffering that we have to endure here on this particular planet during this particular age. It seems to be the only logical explanation for the sort of absurd amount of suffering that most humans have to endure on this planet. Now, some of you in first world countries might be thinking, oh, my life's pretty good. You know, I don't have it so bad. You're in the minority, if that's the case. Most people on the planet live in abject poverty and struggle just to survive and make ends meet and all of that. So we have a very skewed, biased, prejudiced view of the world if we happen to live in first world countries. Sometimes, of course, I haven't lived in a first world country for the last 9 years. I live in South America. Sometimes when I watch people in the United States complaining about their problems, it sounds a lot like a spoiled, you know, five-year-old complaining that they didn't get the Christmas present they wanted this year or whatever in a first world country, you know. The idea of first world problems, it's real, you know. There are first world problems, and then there are real problems, you know, that exist for the majority of mankind. And so you have to understand, and by the way, if you are from a first world country and you've never really traveled in the third world, I would encourage you to do so. It's a real eye-opener. And it gives you a lot of perspective, and you don't take things for granted as much. And when you go back to your country afterwards, you will appreciate what you have far more. And you will complain and whine and bitch and moan much less, I assure you. So you have to understand that the vast majority of humans really struggle. They live in abject poverty and they suffer a lot. And so really the only explanation or justification that I can find for that is that it's on purpose. This planet is designed for that, especially during this particular age coming out of Kali Yuga and all that, that in fact, there's a reason for it. There's justification for it, and that actually we come here to suffer. We come here to suffer on purpose, possibly knowingly. I can't say for sure, but it is possible that souls knowingly incarnate here to suffer on purpose, to learn the hard lessons of endurance, perseverance, and resilience. I can find no other reason why a soul would choose, if that is the case, if we can choose. I don't know if that's the case or not. But if we can, in fact, choose, I can find no other reason that anyone would ever choose to incarnate here knowingly, consciously. Unless, of course, they are a so-called, you know, bodhisattva from the Buddhist tradition, which is an enlightened soul who knowingly incarnates here to help others with their suffering. That certainly is possible. Now, it is possible, of course, that we cannot choose and that we have to incarnate here. And it's sort of like automatic, and it's due to our karma, our attachments and aversions and all that, which is sort of the typical Hindu or Buddhist philosophy. That's possible. I don't discount that as a possibility. But we don't know. We simply don't know. It is possible that the souls choose to incarnate here, to suffer on purpose, to learn specific lessons that this planet has to offer that other planets don't have to offer. You see. We certainly didn't come to this planet to experience peace and tranquility and serenity, I'll tell you that. I'm sure there are far more agreeable planets and, of course, astral planes where we can experience much more peace and tranquility and serenity. So that's not why we came here, you see. Now, that's not to say that we shouldn't attempt to experience peace and tranquility and serenity while we're here. And it is possible, if we have a daily meditation practice, we can dive deep into that pure consciousness that is always peaceful, tranquil, and serene. And we can do that every day, and so we experience some of that every day in our daily lives. We should do that, of course. And I mean, it's quite wonderful to take a break from all the nonsense and strife and stress and all of that of this planet every day. It's good to take that break and that pause. And I'm sure there are people living in monasteries and ashrams and whatnot that do experience more peace and tranquility than most folks. And that's good. That's fine. But not all of us can live in monasteries and ashrams, of course. Most of us live out in the real world and deal with, the daily trials and tribulations of planet Earth. And so, and maybe we came here for the trials and tribulations. You see what I'm saying? And that's okay. It's just like somebody that goes to MIT and endures all the stress and everything of those demanding college classes to earn their PhD in engineering. Perhaps we came here to earn our PhD in resilience, endurance, and perseverance. You just get back up and keep going. That's the lesson here. No matter what is happening, you just get back up and you keep going. You keep on keeping on. You do your best and you move on. Something else happens, well, you handle it the best you can and you move on. You just keep going. I really think that's the lesson to be learned here. And there are other lessons, of course. Some of you are thinking, well, gosh, there's lots of things to learn here. Of course there is. For example, there are schools like Georgia Tech, for example, that is mostly a technical college where people go to learn, about technology and engineering and stuff. But they also have other degree programs that have nothing to do with technology there that one can take. Right? But the specialization, you see, of Georgia Tech is, of course, technology and engineering. And so, of course, there are many lessons to be learned here, many classes that we can take at this Earth College. But the specialty, the specialization, I believe, is endurance, perseverance, and resilience. You just keep going. You bounce back. You just keep bouncing back. And so, again, ascension is this idea of spiritual evolution and the capacity to graduate to higher and higher planes of existential reality as we continue our spiritual growth process in the other realms, and has nothing to do with any type of sudden, spontaneous, collective human awakening. If you're still waiting for that to occur, don't hold your breath. Doesn't seem very likely. And that's okay. It's just not time for that right now. Do the best you can in every situation, every circumstance. Keep bouncing back. Meditate every day to experience your true nature. And continue your spiritual quest. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please share the podcast with like-minded souls. Namaste.